Imagine for a moment, you know, that feeling of security when you get in your car, you buckle up, maybe your family's there with you, and you just sort of trust that everything's designed to protect you.
Right. It's almost subconscious.
Exactly. All those safety features, the airbags, they're meant to be this cocoon. It's a huge amount of trust we put in manufacturers every single day.
We really do, often without thinking twice about it.
But what happens when that trust gets shaken? When a core safety feature, like an airbag, the thing that's supposed to save you, suddenly becomes, well, a serious risk.
That's a fundamental challenge to that trust, isn't it?
It really is. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're looking at a really big recall, a widespread one from the Volkswagen Group.
Yeah, one of the biggest players out there.
And it's not just VW, it includes Audi and Skoda, too.
Yeah.
And the problem, it's critical. It's the front passenger airbag.
A vital piece of safety equipment.
So our mission today is to really unpack this. What are the specifics? What does it mean for you if you own one of these cars? We want to give you clear, actionable information.
And we've been digging into the reports, especially from places like carrecalls.eu and the official German KBA data.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because what we've found in these sources, it's quite a story about automotive safety. Or maybe, you know, a lapse that needs immediate
It
attention.
really is a situation that demands attention.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it flips the script on safety. An airbag becoming a hazard, that fundamentally changes things.
It does.
The core issue here, based on the sources, isn't just a small glitch. It's a critical failure with potentially, well, severe consequences.
So let's get right into the specifics then. What exactly is the problem with these airbags? It sounds incredibly serious.
It absolutely is. The
Yeah.
sources point to two main failure modes for the front passenger airbag, and honestly, both are deeply troubling.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first one, and maybe the most alarming, is that the airbag might actually burst if it deploys accidentally.
Burst, not just tear, but
Yes,
burst.
burst, like a violent rupture. And the critical part is this bursting can lead to the ejection of metal parts right into the passenger compartment.
Wait, metal parts from an airbag? That sounds terrifying. We think of airbags as soft cushions.
Exactly. That's the shock factor here. Imagine a crash situation,
Yeah.
right? It's already chaotic. An airbag inflates in milliseconds. It's supposed to be this soft barrier.
Right, to cushion the blow.
But instead of that cushion, imagine pieces of metal, shrapnel essentially, from the airbag's own internal inflator mechanism flying out at high speed.
Wow, inside the car cabin.
Inside the confined space of the car, it completely transforms the safety device. It turns it from protection into a potential weapon capable of causing really severe injuries, lacerations, blunt trauma.
At a time when the occupant is already vulnerable from the crash itself.
Precisely. It completely undermines the whole point of having an airbag. It's a stark reminder of how critical the integrity of every single safety component is.
Okay, that's truly alarming. And you said there were two failure modes. What's the second one?
The second scenario, while maybe less violently dramatic, is just as critical for safety. The airbag might simply have a reduced protective effect.
Meaning it doesn't work properly.
Exactly. Even if it doesn't burst or throw out metal, it might not inflate correctly. Maybe it inflates too slowly or not fully or with the wrong pressure.
So it just fails to do its job.
Essentially, yes,
Yeah.
it fails to provide that crucial cushioning during a crash. An occupant relies on that airbag deploying correctly if it doesn't.
They could hit the dashboard, the windshield,
Yeah.
things the airbag is meant to prevent.
Correct. They might be left almost as vulnerable as if there were no airbag at all. Or maybe even more so because there's a false sense of security. It might partially inflate, but not enough to stop serious head or chest injuries.
Oh, either way, exploding metal or just not working right, the front passenger is potentially in serious danger.
That's the bottom line. The airbag fails its primary mission, or worse, becomes a direct source of harm itself.
This paints a very stark picture. Given how serious these failures are, how widespread is this? Is it just a couple of specific models, or are we looking at a much broader issue across the VW group?
That's a really important question. And what the source material shows is that the scale is, well, it's quite significant. It's not just one or two niche models. It cuts across multiple platforms and types of vehicles.
Okay, so let's break it down. How many vehicles are we talking about for each brand? Starting with Volkswagen itself.
Okay, for Volkswagen, the number is substantial. We're looking at 16,698 vehicles potentially affected.
16,000. Wow. And which models?
It's a really diverse mix. You've got the T7 van, the popular Passat, the new electric ID. 7, the Tygo, the Polo City car, and even the electric ID. BUZZ van.
That's a huge range. Family cars, electric cars, city cars.
It really is. And what's maybe even more striking is the production window for these VW models. It's really wide. It goes from May 17, 2022, all the way up to May 27, 2025.
2025. So potentially cars that haven't even been built yet or just rolling off the line.
Exactly. That long time frame, over 3 years, strongly suggests this isn't just a small, isolated batch problem. It points towards maybe a long-running issue with a component supplier, or possibly a design aspect used across multiple production cycles.
Right. That makes sense if it spans such a long period. What about Audi, then? They're the premium brand in the group.
For Audi, the number is smaller, but still significant. 1,382 vehicles.
Okay. And the models?
We're talking the A5, the A6, and also their new electric models, the Q6 e-tron and A6 e-tron. So, again, a mix of traditional and electric.
Right. But here's the interesting bit, isn't it? The production window for Audi seems very different.
It's incredibly different. And this is a key insight. For Audi, the effective production window is super narrow, just over a week. March 27, 2025 to April 8th, 2025.
Just 1 week. Compared to 3 years for VW.
Exactly. That huge contrast strongly suggests that for Audi, the issue might be related to a very specific, contained batch of components or maybe a localized hiccup in production during that very short period.
Okay. So maybe a different root cause or at least a different manifestation of the problem within the supply chain for Audi compared to VW.
It certainly points that way. It suggests a more isolated defect for Audi rather than the potentially more systemic issue hinted at by the long VW timeline.
And Skoda, they're also part of this.
Yes, Skoda is included in this current recall as well. The sources mentioned 125 new Skoda Fabias.
Okay, 125 Fabia.
And the source explicitly notes that this Skoda recall is being monitored by the KBA right alongside the Audi one. That suggests a potential link, maybe the same component batch or supplier issue affecting both around that same time frame.
Right, especially given, well, we'll probably get to the history later, but yeah.
Exactly. So if you add them all up, 16,698 VWs, 1,382 Audis, and 125 Skodas. You get a combined total of around 18,205 vehicles.
Over 18,000 vehicles across the group with this potentially very dangerous airbag issue. That's a significant number.
It absolutely is. It affects a wide range of owners and vehicle types.
And that diversity is really striking. You know, a little Polo, a big T7 van, brand new electric cars like the ID.7, luxury Audis. What does that tell us about the root cause? It can't be specific to just one type of car, can it?
That's one of the most compelling takeaways, I think. The sheer variety strongly points away from it being an issue tied to a specific vehicle platform or engine type or price point.
So what's the common thread?
The most likely common denominator, given this spread, is almost certainly a shared component supplier. Someone providing these front passenger airbag units, or perhaps a crucial subcomponent like the inflator, across these different brands and models.
Right, a single faulty part filtering into all these different assembly lines.
Or potentially a shared design specification for that component that was implemented across multiple VW group platforms. For VW, it seems to have been a long-running supply, while for Audi, maybe just one specific faulty batch from that same supplier got through during that short window.
It really highlights how complex these modern supply chains are, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. One problematic part from one supplier, maybe even a tier 2 or tier 3 supplier deep in the chain, can trigger a massive recall affecting an entire global automotive giant. It's a huge challenge for the industry.
So with issues this serious and widespread, who's keeping watch? Who are the regulators making sure these things get caught and dealt with?
In this case, since the information is largely coming from Germany, and involves German manufacturers, the key regulatory body is the Kraftfahrtbundesamt, or KBA.
The KBA. Okay. Germany's Federal Motor Transport Authority.
Exactly. They act as the watchdog for vehicle safety in Germany. They monitor recalls, they ensure manufacturers take the right steps, and they publicize this information so consumers are aware. They're the official oversight body.
And the sources mention specific reference numbers, internal codes. What's the deal with those? Are they important for owners?
They are very important, actually. They act as unique identifiers for this specific recall campaign. Think of them like case numbers. The KBA assigns its own reference numbers. The source gives us 15191R and 15053R for VW and 15056R and 15075R for Audi and Skoda. And the manufacturers have their own codes, too. Correct. VW is using 69UN and 69UK, while Audi and Skoda are using 69DM and 69EB.
So why do these matter? How do they help?
They allow everyone involved, the KBA, the manufacturers, the dealers, and even you, the owner, to precisely identify this specific safety campaign. It avoids confusion with other potential recalls. When you call a dealer, referencing these codes ensures everyone is talking about the same airbag issue.
Ah, I see. So it streamlines the process and makes sure the right fix is applied to the right problem.
Precisely. It helps track the recall's progress and scope accurately. And the source notes, the KBA published this on July 2nd, 2025, so it's very current information.
Right. So bringing it back to the listener, what does this all mean for you if you think you might own one of these affected VWs, Audis, or Skodas? What's the immediate next step?
Okay, this is the most critical part for owners. The advice from the source is clear. Immediately contact an authorized dealer or workshop for your brand. Volkswagen, Audi, or Skoda.
Don't wait. Just call them.
Exactly. Given the potential severity bursting airbags, metal parts, this needs prompt attention. Be proactive.
Okay. But there was a caveat, wasn't there? Something about not all vehicles in the production period being affected.
Yes, and this is really important to understand. The source highlights that the recall may not apply to all vehicles produced in a given period.
So just because my Polo was made between, say, 2022 and 2025, it doesn't automatically mean it needs this recall.
Correct. It's not necessarily a blanket recall for every single car in that window. These issues often relate to specific batches of components, maybe airbags supplied for cars built at a certain factory, or cars with a specific engine, or even a particular trim level.
Ah, okay. So it could depend on exactly which parts went into my specific car.
Precisely. A supplier might have delivered a faulty batch of inflators that only went into a subset of the vehicles produced during that broader time frame. So there's nuance here.
That nuance is crucial. It avoids unnecessary panic, but it means you still need to check, right? So how do you find out for sure if your car is one of the affected ones?
That's where your vehicle identification number, your VIN code, comes in. It's absolutely essential.
The VIN, that long number on the dashboard or door jamb.
Yeah, it's the one. It's unique to your car, like its fingerprint. When you contact the authorized workshop or dealer, you'll give them your VIN.
And they can check it against the recall database.
Exactly. They plug it into their system, and it will tell them definitively if your specific vehicle is part of this recall campaign.
Okay, so no guesswork needed based on model year or vague dates. The VIN is the key.
It's the only reliable way. And importantly, the VIN check will also show if the recall work has already been done. This is crucial if you bought the car used. A previous owner might have already had the airbag replaced.
Right. Good point for secondhand buyers. You know, it's funny, the source mentions that most people probably don't know the exact manufacturing date of their car.
It's true. I certainly don't know mine offhand.
Which just highlights why relying on the official dealer check using the VIN is so important. It cuts through the confusion.
It really does. It simplifies it down to a clear yes or no based on that unique number.
And if the answer is yes, your car is affected, what's the fix?
The good news is the resolution is straightforward. For the affected vehicles, the dealer will replace the front passenger airbag. It's a defined repair procedure carried out at the authorized workshop.
Okay, so the main thing for the owner is just to make that call, get the VIN checked, and schedule the replacement if needed.
That's essentially it. Act promptly to get the check done for peace of mind, and most importantly, for safety.
This whole situation is, well, it's unsettling. Airbags bursting, metal parts flying, especially from a huge name like Volkswagen Group. But let's step back a bit. Is this kind of thing, this major recall, a total anomaly? Or is this something that happens more often than we might think in the car industry?
That's a really interesting perspective to take. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the bigger picture, this VW Group recall, while definitely significant, is far from an isolated incident. It's actually, well, it's part of a much larger pattern.
Really? How so?
Our main source, carrecalls.eu, puts it starkly right on their homepage. They state they are currently tracking, get this, 4,984 recalls.
4,000, nearly 5,000 active recalls.
Almost 5,000 active recalls being tracked globally.
And?
That number alone tells you something profound about the frequency. It's not just a handful a year. It averages out to nearly 14 new recalls being tracked every single day.
Wow, that's staggering. That completely reframes it. Recalls aren't rare exceptions. They're almost a constant feature of the modern auto industry.
They really are. It highlights the incredible complexity of making cars today, the global supply chains, the constant pressure. It means things can and do go wrong frequently.
So that 4,984 number covers all sorts of issues, presumably, not just airbags.
Oh, absolutely. The sources give us a glimpse into the huge variety of problems, and some are just as critical, if not more so, than this airbag issue.
Like what?
Well, what's particularly fascinating and directly relevant here is that this isn't the first time Skoda has had a major issue with the Fabia's passenger airbag.
Wait, really?
Yes. The source specifically mentions a previous Skoda Fabia airbag recall. This one involved 50,000 vehicles made between 2021 and 2022. And critically, it was for the exact same component, the passenger airbag.
The same component again? Yeah. For the Fabia? That can't be a coincidence. That sounds like a pattern.
It strongly suggests a pattern, doesn't it? A recurring problem with a critical safety, apart from the same manufacturer, affecting tens of thousands of vehicles within just a few years.
That raises some serious questions about quality control, or maybe the design of that specific airbag system, wouldn't you say?
It absolutely does. Yeah. Was the root cause fully addressed in the first recall? Is there a persistent issue with the supplier? It certainly suggests the problem might be deeper than just a single bad batch back then. And for owners, seeing the same part recalled again, that definitely impacts trust.
Yeah, no kidding. So beyond this recurring airbag issue, what other kinds of problems are leading to these thousands of recalls?
The source headlines paint a pretty diverse and sometimes scary picture. There's one: fatal accident, stop using Citroen C3 and DS3, warn Stellantis.
Stop using the car entirely. That's extreme.
It shows the potential severity. Sometimes the risk is so immediate, they tell owners to park the vehicles. Then there's these 17 cars had four or more recalls in 2024.
Four recalls in 1 year for the same models.
Yeah, suggesting some cars might just have chronic issues across different systems. Not just one bad part, but maybe broader quality control problems.
So it's not just airbags. What else?
We see examples like Kia models with a risk of fire, even when the vehicle is parked. Imagine that worry.
Fire risk. Wow.
Volvo's experiencing no braking effect when the pedal is depressed.
Complete brake failure. That's terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Hyundai Tucson's with possible loss of steering capability.
Loss of steering. Another nightmare scenario.
And faulty contacts are causing a fire risk at Hyundai and Mercedes. So fire risks, brake failure, steering loss. It covers a huge range of potentially life-threatening defects across many different brands.
It really drives home that no manufacturer seems immune, does it? Big names, luxury brands, volume sellers, they all seem to face these challenges.
That seemed to be the reality. The complexity is immense.
Which does raise that bigger question. Why? What does this trend imply? Is it just the sheer complexity of modern cars, all the electronics, the software, the advanced safety systems? Maybe it's just inevitable.
That's certainly a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Modern cars are incredibly complex machines. They have millions of lines of code, interconnected systems, advanced materials, more things that can potentially go wrong.
Exactly. And then you layer on top the intense global competition, the pressure to innovate faster, to shorten development cycles, to manage costs through incredibly complex global supply chains.
Where parts come from dozens of different suppliers all over the world.
Right. A tiny flaw in a component from one supplier, maybe even a supplier's supplier, can ripple outwards and end up causing a massive recall for a company like VW.
So it's like a perfect storm of complexity and pressure.
It seems that way. Manufacturers invest enormous amounts in testing and quality control, of course. But the scale and speed of modern production mean that, unfortunately, issues can slip through. Sometimes they only become apparent after thousands of cars are already out on the road.
It really highlights that constant tension, doesn't it? Between pushing technology forward, keeping costs down, and ensuring absolute safety.
It's a very difficult balancing act, and safety has to be paramount, but the challenges are undeniable. So, given that recalls are so common and cars are so complex, how can you, the listener, stay better informed? How can you navigate this landscape and feel confident about your own car or one you might be thinking of buying?
That's really the key question for consumers, isn't it? How do you empower yourself? The sources we looked at offer some very practical tools beyond just checking recall lists.
Okay, like what?
Well, one strong recommendation is to use comprehensive vehicle history checks. These go way beyond just safety recalls.
What kind of information do they provide?
They can uncover a lot. Things like the car's real mileage, helping you spot potential odometer rollback or clocking, which is a big issue in the used market.
Ah, checking if the mileage has been tampered with. That's important.
Very important. They can also reveal potential traffic accident damages that might not be obvious, or details about major repairs the car has had. Has it been salvaged? Flood damage? Did it have previous title issues like liens?
So it's like getting the car's complete biography.
Essentially, yes. It gives you a transparent look at the vehicle's past life. which is invaluable if you're buying used, but also useful for current owners to understand their car's history. It helps you make much more informed decisions.
That sounds incredibly useful. What else? Are there other resources?
Yes. The source material also points to independent reliability reports. They specifically mention the TÜV Report 2025, ADT 2024, and German DECRA tests.
TÜV, ADC, DECRA. Those are well-respected names, especially in Europe.
They are. These organizations conduct rigorous inspections and tests, and they track breakdown statistics over the long term. Their reports give you a different perspective, not just on immediate recalls, but on a model's overall long-term reliability and durability.
So which cars tend to hold up better over time? What are the common issues that crop up as they age?
Exactly. It complements the recall information by giving you a sense of the vehicle's likely future performance and potential maintenance needs. It helps build a more complete picture of quality.
So you've got the official recall data, the detailed vehicle history checks for transparency, and these independent reliability reports for long-term assessment. It sounds like the goal is to arm consumers with layers of information.
That's precisely it. And sites like carrecalls.eu play a crucial role by compiling this information. They emphasize that they gather data from official sources.
Like the KBA we mentioned.
Yes, the KBA in Germany, the EU Safety Gate for Europe-wide alerts, the DVSA in the UK. By bringing data from these official regulatory bodies together, they provide a credible, consolidated resource.
Which ultimately gives more power to the consumer, right?
Absolutely. It shifts the balance. It allows you to be proactive, to verify information, and to make much smarter choices about buying, selling, or maintaining your vehicle. In today's complex market, having access to reliable, aggregated safety and history data is just essential.
What an incredibly detailed look at this. We started with that unsettling feeling about trusting our cars, and then dove deep into this specific Volkswagen Group airbag recall. The potential for bursting, for metal parts, or just failing to protect. That's impacting nearly 20,000 VWs, Audis, and Skodas, built over a surprisingly long period from 2022 right up to 2025.
A really significant issue.
We covered the crucial next step for owners. Call your dealer, use your VIN, get it checked. Don't delay.
Absolutely the key takeaway action.
And we put it all in that broader context. Recalls aren't rare. There are thousands out there. We even saw that troubling repeat of the Skoda Fabia airbag issue.
Yeah, that recurrence is definitely food for thought.
So we hope this deep dive has armed you with more than just a headline. We hope it's giving you real understanding and actionable knowledge, moving from that general worry to specific steps and broadening the view to the whole industry.
Empowering owners with information is the goal.
Exactly. But let's end with a question, something for you to think about as you drive away, so to speak. Given everything we've discussed, the recurring Skoda airbag issue within the giant VW group, the constant stream of recalls for critical parts like brakes and steering across the entire industry. What does this really tell us about the future? About vehicle manufacturing and our trust in it?
That's a big question.
How can these huge global companies balance that relentless push for innovation, faster production, lower costs, with the absolute need for safety? Especially when basic, fundamental components seem to keep failing in new or repeated ways.
It's a central challenge, isn't it?
And what role does communication, proactive, transparent communication play in rebuilding or just maintaining that trust? Especially when the very things designed to save us might become a danger. What does this ongoing tension between progress and fundamental safety mean for all of us as drivers and car owners looking ahead?